Blog Talk Radio.
You know, life is funny when you look at it. Everybody wants love, but everybody's afraid of love. You know, I'm a true believer that if you get anything out of life, you got to put up with the toils and strife. Now listen. Ooh, you're pushing my love a little bit too far. I don't think you know, I don't think you know how blessed you are. And your friend Annie Mae tell you all she sees, and never thought you were trying to get close to me. Yeah. Think it over, girl. Think it over. Look, that's the way I feel about you. And if that's getting weak, but you know, I don't mind. That's the way I feel about you. Ooh. But that's the sacrifice that life put you through. Trust in me, my dear. Have no fear. You don't know, but God might have sent me here. Yeah. Think it over. Think it over. You better think it over.
Well, look here, shalom, 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 everybody. We had another first day of the week. Boy, these weeks is rolling in on top of each other. It's the first day of the week. Glad to be here today. I hope everybody is enjoying. I know it is cold outside. Woo, it's freezing. But anyway, if you can hear me, somebody push one. Everybody push one. Somebody let me know you can hear my voice. And then we're going to go ahead and get ready for the show. I hope you're all right. There we go. I got you. Thank you, Malcolm. Appreciate it. I just wanted to know, you know, I just wanted to talk today. It's one of them warm days. You can sit in the house and, you know, cut a movie on or something and just relax. Not doing anything in particular, nothing special. You know, I'm so glad that I know who I am today. I'm so glad that, you know, I've gotten past what Sundays is supposed to be. I understand what they are, you know, and it's truly a blessing. I am so glad to be awake today. It's a blessing. It's truly a blessing. So I just wanted to share something with you that Lavia shared with me earlier today, and I wanted to see what your thoughts are on this. But I think this is very interesting because I told you they're listening. It says the 2020 census question asking black folks for their exact origin sparks concern. New changes are coming to the 2020 census, including an area asking black Americans to designate their nation of origin. Under the checkbox for black or African American, the U.S. Census Bureau is adding a space on it, on its questionnaire, for participants to write in their non-Hispanic origin. According to a January memo from the head of the 2020 census obtained by NPR, African Americans, Jamaicans, and Nigerians are just some of the options the Bureau is testing for the 2020 census. The white category will also include a write-in area for national origin, NPR reported, where respondents can identify as English, Italian, Egyptian, or German, among other options. Though the Bureau has not given a specific reason for the changes, researchers at the agency say they've been trying to respond to requests for more detailed, disaggregated data from our diverse American experiences as German, Mexican, Korea, Jamaican, and a myriad of other identities. For many black people in the U.S., this new write-in area will allow them to be more specific about their national identity. The inquiry will prove easy for black immigrants who can trace their origin back to a specific country. But things could become thorny for the U.S.-born blacks who have a tougher time tracing their origins. I'm African. I identify as black, but I don't see myself as an African American. Nate Amir, who was born in Ethiopia, excuse me, and now lives in New York, told NPR, we can't just be black as African Americans. We are black from Africa. We are black from the Caribbean, and we are black from everywhere. Some black people have voiced concerns over the questionnaire's latest edition, however, citing growing distrust among black Americans in handing over personal information to the Fed. So basically what they are doing is they're taking the census as to how many, what you consider yourself to be. It says, are people willing to answer that question given the current anti-immigrant sentiment? That I cannot tell, said Berkeley, who is the Ethiopian American. Christian Geer, a political science professor at Fordham University, shared similar concerns, telling NPR that fewer participating in the census could result in an undercount that will have a long-lasting impact. For one, it could affect the redistribution of seats in the House of Representatives, as well as the drawing of legislative districts. This keeps me up at night because it's not just about filling out the census, Greer said. Still, there are those who plan to embrace the new changes, Amanda Love, the director of advocacy for the people living with HIV. She said more detailed census about black folks' origin would be beneficial for the public health work at her organization. This is a great step forward in terms of being able to get more specific information on who's actually living here, said Lug, who is a black Brit. So they are giving you an opportunity for you to tell them who you are. Now, if this ain't y'all, I don't know what it is, because it used to be, it didn't used to have that in there, because I remember when I last took the census, I wrote in that I was a Hebrew Israelite, and they called me and told me I couldn't do that. Your thoughts? What's your thoughts? Everybody don't rush at the same time. Somebody push one. What do you think about that? They're actually adding something in on the census this year to for you to tell them what your exact origin is. And then my thing is, how many people will be bold enough to do it? Because it's easy to sit at home in your living room and say, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. But are they willing to do this on paper and make it official? Anybody have a comment? Anybody push one? You know, because this is what we're talking about. So, because this is really a serious situation where it's time now for us out, because this may be our way out. This may be the Most High's way of identifying us and giving us a way out. Real talk, how many people would be willing to say that and to go on record that that's who you are? Because we can't be closet Hebrews. This is not going to work. And it shouldn't stop your benefits. It shouldn't stop you from working on your job. It shouldn't stop you from any of that, in my opinion. Now, some people, and I told you all, everybody's going to be put to the test. Everybody's going to be put to the test. Whether you're going to stand up and be counted, because this may be a way for them to identify who we are, to make preparations to get us out of here. Now, quiet today, ain't nobody pushing one. Everybody got real quiet. I know somebody got something to say. Hold on, let me open up. Malcolm, are you there? What's your thoughts on this, Malcolm? Because everybody else scared to talk. They scared to talk.
I think it's a good thing, but it also can be used as a negative tool for them to single people out to round them up, too. So with them, you just kind of never know.
Yeah, but I mean, even though that may be their intentions, aren't we supposed to trust y'all that he said that we was going to be saved out of it? I mean, if we believe that that's who we are, that's who we are, right?
That's true, but the census, it don't count everybody, because everybody don't even fill that thing out. I know some people tear that thing up and throw it in the garbage. So it's still millions of people. They say they counting them based off of that, but that's not their only means of counting it. There's no way, because a lot of people just throw them in the garbage and toss it up as junk mail. It ain't no law. They're not arresting you if you don't. It's still your free will whether or not you even want to fill it out.
That's true. That is very true, because remember, one year they came to your house and made sure you filled it out. If they caught you home, they made sure you filled it out, and they took it with them when they left. Now, that was years ago, but they did do that. You know, but I mean, you know, this is going to be the telltale, because I always fill it out, and I always put the same thing on there. Once I found out who I was, there was no turning back. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't have who I am at the job. I don't wear a sign that say, hey, I'm a Hebrew Israelite, look at me. I don't do that. But I do represent the fact that I'm an Israelite, and if I'm asked, that's what I tell them. And I still do my job, and I come to work on time, and I go home on time. So, I mean, you know, at the same time, I don't know. Some people are still fearful. Some people are still scared. They really are. And you know, and it's about faith, you know, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. So, I mean, you know, you got to have enough faith to know if you're going to fill it out. How can you put African-American once you know you're Israelite?
Right. I agree.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, now that's to me, that is interesting. So I'm going to put you back on mute for a minute. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we can't go back. Once you know, it ain't no going back. You already know what you are. So how can you put African-American? And then all you African-American on the paper, but on the radio shows and at the events that we have in New Hebrew, you can't be scared. It is what it is. Hold on. Let me get him open. Brother Leonard, go ahead. Your mic is open. You're on the air. If it'll open. Okay, it's open now. Say it again.
The Most High also say be wise as a serpent.
Right, right. So what does that mean, though? What do you mean?
I mean, if you know you're going to get knocked off by putting Israelite on there, then don't put it on there.
Why would you be knocked off, though? I mean, guess what?
Because you said they're trying to identify you.
Okay, but guess what? Don't you think they know who you are now?
No, they don't know because it's the DNA. How you know who an Israelite is. They don't know that.
No, they know who you are. I mean, you know, listen, Brother Leonard, you on this radio show. You done been on this radio show for years. They have access to every phone call that dials in here. They have access to all – this is a country of information. This is what they
specialize
in.
Right, but I'm talking about the supernatural part of it. Because the gathering in the end is when, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 9, when he says he sends six angels, he told them to get their weapon, and then he gave one of the angels out of the seven to mark all the people that sigh and moan for Jerusalem. And everybody ain't doing that. So that's how he chose them. And so when you go to Second Ezra, it tells you the same thing. He's choosing the people that has a heart for him and the people that moan and sigh for the issues that's going on with the Israelites. And everybody ain't doing that. You don't even take them.
Right.
You're not going to even bother with them. When it's time to go, he's just getting the ones that have a heart.
I look at it like this. If they got this information, they know who you are. They know who you are. They know where you work. They know what you do. Now, we don't propose a threat, and it's not a threat for us to be Israelites.
Right.
And we have never proposed a threat, so they don't bother us. But they know who I am. They know who you are. They know everybody that's been on this line and most of the people that have YouTube channels. They done already investigated and did what they need. They did their due diligence to know who you are and what you're doing. So whether you write it down or not, when the trouble comes, it's still going to be trouble for us all. So, I mean, you know, I just feel like that if you know who you are, how can you now profess to be an African-American? Because that doesn't exist. That's not real. There's no such thing as an African-American unless they come from Africa. You know, I don't understand how, you know, that can be done. But, I mean, you know, everybody to each his own. Like I said, the test coming, and we're going to all have to go to the test, in my opinion. You're going to have to be able to say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, and this is where we're going as a people. Like, what if Joshua had done that? I mean, you just can't, in my opinion. You just can't do that. Hold on. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I kind of agree with Brother Leonard because I often dress in a way that identifies me as different. And people will ask, why do you wrap your hair? And I do this at work. And so several times I've been asked this, and I find that I will tell people, but I certainly don't volunteer it. And a lot of times, like just on Friday, someone asked me, and I said, I'm an Israelite, and they wanted to go with your Jewish. And I'm thinking, I am not going to fight this battle because one of the things you can do is just set yourself up as a target everywhere you go. So I think that you have to be wise. I don't back down from who I am. But, you know, I think you have to pick your battles. And
right.
My thing is
so
just go in. Do what I need to do and get out because I'm not looking here to stay here or change anything. I'm just trying to get through with as little hassle as possible. It doesn't change how I feel about who I am and the thing is that I could really blend in, but the thing is I wrap my head every day and go. And most people think
mm-hmm.
it's just a fashion accessory. But some people
mm-hmm.
think, hmm.
Right. I understand that. I do. I understand that, and I respect that. I mean, I do. I get that. Now, hold on. Let me open area code 817. Your mic is open. You're on the air. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, shalom, everybody. Here's my question. Did they not take our blood sample when we were born? Did they not have our information on our birth certificate? Did they not have our Social
mm-hmm.
Security numbers? They know exactly
mm-hmm.
who we are. They know where we're at
yeah.
at all times because
mm-hmm.
we work. We have to give them our social. So they know who we are. There's no need to put nothing on there. I'll just put other. and keep it moving.
That's, there you go. He said he puts other, and he keep it moving. That'll work, too. I mean, you know, because you can't go back. I just feel like once you know who you are, you can't go back to being an African-American.
Right.
Because you already know you're
right.
Israel.
I don't call myself that anymore. When people ask me, if someone asks me, then I will tell them, I'm an Israelite. I'm a tribe of Jews.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit there and lie and say I'm African-American, because Africa is a continent. America is a continent. There's, I don't know how many nations in Africa. Which country in Africa? We don't know that.
Absolutely. Well, that's all I'm saying is, you know, as this time approaches, because I put Israelite, I want my children, if we're here, which I hope we're not, and I pray that we're not, but if my children's children are here and they go to be able to research our lineage, I want them to be able to know that we are Hebrew Israelites from the tribe of Yehuda. I mean, that's something that I want to be able to put on record, because we're doing too much now for it not to be known, and there's no way to hide. It's just no way to go back to saying, okay, I'm just going to mind my own business and not say nothing. Everything is out in the open now. Everything is. It's just like when you go to court. When I went to court for my apartment stuff, and the judge was real slick about it, she said, I need you, will you please solemnly swear to the and attest to the testimony that you're about to give is true, you know, and whatever else she said. And I listened to it, and she said it real fast. And I bent down and said, I affirm, I will not swear. And she looked at me a certain way, because they know that there are certain free words that you use to identify that you know certain things. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can't. Go back and they ask you, well, what's your nationality? Even if they up in your face with a gun, what is your nationality? I'm a Hebrew Israelite, period. I can't stand up and say I'm an African-American because I'm scared that you got a gun, because Yah is bigger than the gun, in my opinion. He's bigger than the gun, in my opinion. Let me get this mic over. Area code 928, your mic is open, you're on the air. 928, your mic is open. I think your phone might be on mute. Somebody push 1. I don't know if you did it by accident or what. Area code 928294. She might have to try it again. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's just one of those situations where now it's coming down to the wire where we're going to have to be able to identify who we are. And we're going to have to put this thing out in the open and identify who we are as a people. You know, I mean, you know, some people on our birth certificate, some people got color. They don't even have nothing else. They got color. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that they call us African American is because we were captives in Africa and we were captives in America. And it's a slave name for both African and American. So those who are awoke and you're ready to go back to the land, the 400 years is over, and that's a way of preparing that we call our. That's one way of preparing for us to say that we're Hebrew Israelites, because that's who we are. They took Negro land away from us. They took our land away from us, and then they put us captive in both places, and that's why they call us African American. That's a slave title.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you. You know, and now, well, and guess what? When you learn better, you do better. It's not going to change anything, because the trouble is still going to be the same. Jacob's trouble is coming whether you say it or not. So, I mean, you know, how come we can't openly identify who we are? And like you said, they know who we are, what we're doing. Eric Cole 540, your mic is open, you're on the air. 5-4-0,
hello.
Your mic is open. Yeah, we
yes. Doesn't Yah let us know that if we deny him before men, he would deny us before his Father? We're going to have to face up to the reality when we know better. If you don't know better, well, that's one thing. He doesn't hold you responsible. But once you know who you are and whose you are, then we have to stand for him. We have to represent him. That's the bottom line. You can't say, I know him, I'm proud to be a Hebrew Israelite, or some course say Hebrew Israelite. And yet when you're faced with it by the enemy, you can't turn around and just cower down or act like silence is golden, because that's not the way it's going to work. We are who we are, and that's the bottom line.
All right, hallelujah. I agree 100%. I agree with you. I mean, you know, I've always put it, once I found out, well, I've only been through one census. So once I found out who I was, I put it, and they challenged me, and I put it. I told them who I was. You're not going to tell me who I am. So I did put it down there, because I want my children, I want it on record, you know, because they already, like Sister Sonia said, when she went to do some business, I forgot what it was, she went to do some business downtown, and they had her name downtown as Sonia Yisrael. Now, that's not her legal name, but they had all that information down there already. They knew who she was. She's like, none of these people know us. They know what we're doing and who we are.
Yes. Most importantly, God knows who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's watching to see how we handle ourselves.
Yes. Who will stand and who will not.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not going to cost you anything any different. And it shouldn't, you know. And if it does, you know, that's something that the Most High will take care of. We have to believe that, you know, with our whole heart. But again, for some people, it's a test. It's just a test. They're not ready to do it yet. And if you're not, don't do it. If you're not ready to do it yet, just don't do it. I mean, you know, but it doesn't change what's going to happen. The outcome is still there. And I think that, like you said, it may be what Brother Leonard said. It may be a trap. It may be to see how many of us it is on in the United States, and how many of us it is that are willing to say that we're Israelites, even though they have us downtown as terrorists. It may be a trap, but guess what we know about the man's trap? The Most High turns it around for his good. What the devil meant for evil, Yah will turn it around for his good and get us up out of here.
Yes.
And it may be that if you don't identify, you can't leave. There could be a whole lot of different scenarios to that. Well, we have you on the census here that you're African-American, or you're African-American or Israelite. Because we're making preparation for all Israelites to be removed from the United States of America. You know, and that may be too. But whatever he does, it's going to be for his benefit and for our benefit, not theirs. They've always planned our demise, but guess what? It don't always work. And the curse is over. You know, so you have to be able to decide what to do. I told you, decision time is coming.
For everyone.
Yes, ma'am, for everybody, decision time is coming. And you're going to have to be able to make that decision for everything, because it's not going to be every time. Let me say, from what I have observed and the things that I have seen in the scriptures, every time that the Most High decides to do something major, it is always something death-defying. To the point where you have to really, really, really know where your faith stands. Every time.
Yeah.
Imagine little bitty David going up against Goliath. Imagine.
Hmm.
You know, this little boy wanted, this giant had a sword he was wielding at him. And this little boy didn't have nothing but a rock and a slingshot. And I'm sure he was laughed at and all that kind of stuff, but the Most High was with him. So I mean, it's all over. You're gonna be pushed to the edge, and you're gonna be made to stand up and take a test.
It's for us to know where we are at.
Yeah.
Because he already knows who is, but it's for our benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Like I said, we got a lot of people on Facebook. We got a lot of people on YouTube. They got YouTube channels. They teach and they're doing all this kind of stuff. I just wonder how many of those people are going to be willing to put that on the census. You'll be surprised how many people won't. You'll be surprised. All these people who've been hollering and teaching and screaming, you'll be surprised how many people will put that on the census and how many people won't. Because you can make an excuse for all of the, well, you know, it's this, or well, you know, it's that, or well, it's simple as this. Are you an Israelite or are you not? And if you are, then that's what they're asking you. What is your nation of origin? What is your nationality? And if we put our nation of origin in Israel, that's where we're from. Our nationality is Hebrew Israelite. That's who we are. They've never done this before. This is the first time that they've ever done anything like this, and then we don't do it. Hold on. Area code 405, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
I was reading in the, I think, Old Testament. I think it was Exodus, the 30th chapter. There was a census, and I think it's 30 and 12. And it reads that. Let me back up a little bit. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what I believe first. I believe that, yes, this is somewhat of a warning, or not just saying a warning. It was just something for us to think about, because I believe that this year is not over yet, the year that we call New Year, and the beginning of it is, you know, coming up. And I do believe, and I have expressed my belief to a lot of people, that this last Sukkot, which is, you know, the Passover, I believe it's going to be our last. We're in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that we're going into Exodus. And if you read Exodus 30 and 12, it tells, Moses was telling them that to count each Israelite according to their tribe. And each one a ransom for his, you know. So,
yeah, for his soul, yeah.
For his soul. And I believe that, you know, maybe, you know, it could be that if you don't do it and you think, well, I don't want them to know I'm Israel, or I already know that I am. But what if they decide to say, okay, those that check Israelite or Hebrew, or, you know, whatever, on their deal, then this is what you're going to get out of here.
Now, right.
You know, a lot of people think, oh, my, I didn't do it. Well, that's your blessing. That's what you left out. You know, maybe that's part of the ransom that you didn't get because you did not do accordingly. And you know, sometimes it takes us reading the word and going back because there's nothing new under the sun.
Nope.
Although, probably be the greatest Exodus that would ever, you know, here on earth. But it's coming, and that's something that we need to pray about, and that's why it's so important to have, you know, the Ruach in your life. You see, he can warn you. I mean, he can let you know. So right now it's the time to start praying about this. And what you just got through reading, it might be a warning for us to start preparing ourselves.
Yes, ma'am. Because you're going to have to stand up and represent at some point. There, and for people who, in my opinion, you know, you got to trust Yah. Because if he brought us this far, he's going to continue to take us all the way. I mean, we come up with all kind of excuses in the world, but if you are who you are, you are who you are, and you're protected. You have to believe that you're protected no matter what it is. And like she said, what if this is the telltale sign to determine who's leaving first and who's not? And we've been through all these radio shows, and we've done all these classes, and we've been teaching for all these years, and the Most High bring it down to a simple census test. Do you really trust me the way you say you do? Will you put everything on the line and tell these people that you are the real Israelites of the Scriptures? And guess what? And if that's something simple as that, because that's what the Bible says. He uses the simple thing to confound the wise. They don't. So, I mean, you know, like I said, it's never been done before to the point where they're leaving it up to us to tell them who we are. It says the 2020 census question asking black folk for their exact origin sparks concern. New changes are coming to the 2020 census, including an area asking black Americans to designate their nation of origin. It says under the checkbox for black or African American, the U.S. Census Bureau is adding a space on its questionnaire for participants to write in their non-Hispanic origin. When have they ever given us an opportunity for us to tell them who we are? It's always been done for us. Eric Cole 228, your mic is open. You're on the air. Go for it.
Yes. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
I'm thinking of the census is one thing, but a lot of us here have our government, the government name, and that changing that is another. I mean, amongst ourselves, we have our Hebrew Israelite name. They call us by that. But our government name is still the same, and that has not been changed. So the censor seems like a more simple thing than going to have your whole name changed. Well, I mean, changing on your driver's license, your birth, your Social Security card. Like you said, they already know who we are.
They do. They know who you are. They have your phone number. They know. Even though you're sitting at home with the door shut in your living room, they know who you are. They don't hide it. They know who you are. They know what we talk about. They know what we say. This is a nation that prides itself on information and data collecting. They know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Your cell phone,
they
listen to your conversation. They know.
Yes. And they want your confirmation on it, who you are. Yes.
Do you really believe what you say? Hold on. Area code 678, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes. Sister Yaina.
Uh-huh.
I hear what you're saying. I really do. But the census, it's not mandatory. Is that correct? That
no.
You take
it's
it?
Not. You
so
can go
in order,
the garbage if you want
if it,
to.
Right. But if it was mandatory, then you would be denying the Most High if you didn't take it or if you took it and put African American on there. But since it's not mandatory and you don't have to take it, you're just really volunteering information.
Right.
And also,
can I interrupt on that? Because I was going to say something before she came on the line. I thought maybe this might be more significant. When I was doing research for my ancestors, and the only reason why we weren't getting the funds that we needed, or we weren't getting what the government was giving others, it's because my ancestors chose to leave every time the census came up. They were afraid of the census. So therefore, we missed out on some opportunities. We missed out on, you know, free education. We missed out on free housing. We missed out on a whole lot where some that people that stayed and did the census, they were able to get that. So by the time my ancestors decided that, well, we're not going to run no more, or we'll go ahead, and by that time, they closed it. It was too late. So well, let's think about that, too.
Yeah, that's just, you really don't know what you missed out on, because they could have said anything. Because we weren't supposed to exceed in anything anyway, as long as we were under that curse. So saying that, and I just feel like it's interesting that they're making changes to the census right now, since they're trying to define us as an occult or, what did you say, a terrorist people. But now they want you to really put down if you're Israelite. And I think it's all for black people, this thing, because it's going to point out that you're an Israelite. Because you can be listening. They may know who you are, but you haven't claimed it, especially if you're just listening to the radio. They may know that I heard I was on your I was listening to your program, but the ones who don't talk, they don't know where they stand. And they want to know where people stand.
I claim it every day. I claim it every
day. No, I'm not saying you don't.
I'm
not saying you
don't. I'm just saying, it's going to come a time, sis. Listen, sis. It's going to come a time when you're going to have to stop being scared. It's simple as that. It's no other
it's not about
fear.
I don't think it's fear. I think it's
Baby,
really.
It's fear when you're going to have to determine who you are and what's going on. You're going to have to stop being scared of these people and their plans, because they're always going to put the big bad wolf up in front of your face to make you say, ooh, this is a bad time right here. I don't know. They up to something. They will always be up to something, but there's going to come a time when you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to stop being scared. It's simple as that. Either you are what you believe or you're not. It's simple as that. It doesn't go any deeper than that. You have to stop being afraid to say who you are. And it's just like when the army of Gideon, he started out with 30,000 men to go fight. And the Most High, and he ended up with 300, because the Most High told him, don't get them ones when they being down that they drinking in the water. They put their mouth down. You get the ones that bring the water to their mouth in their hand, because you're going to have to stop being scared. Either you believe this thing or you don't. That's just as simple as that. Because he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we got to be able to stand on this. Because one day all this stuff will go away anyway. It's like, you know, and I was just telling Uncle that today. I said, everything we own and everything we have is contingent upon this country and this economy. Everything we have. And one day this is going to be gone, and then what's going to happen? So, you know, we went through that when we went to Washington, D.C. Everybody told us, oh, you can't go to Washington. Oh, this is going to happen in Washington, D.C. on that weekend, and this is going to happen. Guess what? Didn't a doggone thing happen. We went and did what we had to do, and y'all was there when we got there. So it's going to be a group of people that's going to do it, and it's going to be a group of people that's not going to do it. And we've always told you that it's going to come a time when you're going to have to go through the test. You're going to have to go through the test. It's simple as that. And it ain't going to never be a right time. It's never going to be a right time for you to stand up and say, I'm an Israelite. This is what I believe in. Never going to go through the. It ain't going to never be a right time. It's going to always be a wolf somewhere in the background growling at you to see if you. And the wolf, guess what? The wolf could come from Yah. And stand right there in your face. And he said, I double dare you to say it. And you look him in the face and tell him, I'm a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Yehuda. Now, right on that. That's the boldness we're going to have. And it tickled me because I was at the grocery store the other day. And I was walking to my car. And when I got around to the side and I was putting my bags in the back seat of the car, this dog was in the car next to me. He was, all he scared me. And I jumped. I was like, ooh, you scared. He just looked at me through that car like, if I could get out of this car, I'd tear your soul down. He was like, I said, you shut up. I said, you shut your mouth. Don't growl at me like that. I said, you scared me. I said, you shut your mouth right now. And he looked at me like, excuse me. He looked at me like, huh? You're supposed to be scared of me. I said, everybody's scared of you. You better quit growling at me. And you know what he did? His ears went up, and then he started looking the other way, but I could see he was looking at me out the corner of his eye, and he said, this lady's crazy. And it's the same way you're going to have to be with these people in this country. Change is growling. Y'all is in control of it all, see? He's in control of it all. And so what that tells me is I still have work to do with you, area code 678. And guess what? You keep on coming and you keep on reading because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you keep on coming, and I'm not going to let you say nothing else negative because we're not going to put nothing else negative into the atmosphere. And we love you and you're an Israelite, but you need a little bit more faith because faith don't matter who it is. If Donald Trump stood up today in front of me and said, I double dare you, I'm a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Yehuda.
Can I say something?
At some point, it may cost you your life. Are you willing to give that? Are you willing to give your life? Because some point it may cost you your life. Are we willing to do that at this point? And if you're not, you got to go back and get a little bit more faith. Because those are the ones we just read this weekend. Those are the ones that's going to make it all the way to the end. Those are the ones that's going to make it. He that overcometh. You got to overcome it, all of it. You can't be afraid. This is not the time to be afraid because we're on our way out of here. And everybody's not going to make the first go around. And this may be, this just may be an opportunity for them to count up how many of us it is that are willing to accept the fact that we are who we are and how much land they have to clear off for us to be able to go into a specific place and be in a specific place of safety. We don't know what it is, but we got to start trying. Who said, can I say something?
That was me. For me, it's not fear because I already know that they know who I am. When I went to Washington, D.C., at the airport, they took my picture and made it very clear they were taking my picture. So it's not a matter of being afraid. But I don't have the negative reaction to the term African-American. So there are many things I need to think through because, to me, I understand who I am. I understand my lineage. I understand that my nationality is that of an Israelite. But I don't automatically reject African-American either. So I'm listening to the conversation, and I'm trying to think through, okay, what is it? It's not like I put that above my nationality, but I've always had a favorable attitude toward Africa. I married an African. So to me, it's not like, ooh, something that I shy away from. There are some things. So it's not about fear. A lot of it is just about knowledge and actually thinking through the matter and trying to think, okay, what are the implications? What does this mean? And I pick my fights. I don't go out advertising just to say, okay, anybody who wants to take me on, here I am. No, that's not what I do, but I'm not going to back up off of who I am either. I'm very happy and very comfortable knowing who I am. So for me, this conversation is one that just provokes thought. I need to think about
that's good.
What does this mean?
I think that's good, and guess what? It is. It has to be, if that's not your issue, that's not your issue. But people, what you can hear in the voice of the people and what they say to know what their issues are. Well, maybe, you know, why now? What's the purpose of them doing it now? Why not now? The curse is over. The curse is over. I don't wear a neon sign either. They say, look at me, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I very rarely open up my mouth, believe it or not. I do more talking among you all than I do because I'm comfortable talking to you than I do anywhere. I very rarely say anything on my job as it pertains to who I am. But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. But I don't wear a neon sign. I don't go through preaching. I don't go through recruiting. I don't do any of that. But what I'm saying is when you hear, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you hear people say, well, why now? Well, what would be the purpose of it? Why not now? The Most High may have put it in their heart for them to do it now. This is the best time to do it, in my opinion, to be able to put the information on paper that you're a Hebrew Israelite and this is what you believe. Like she said, this may be the opportunity for them to get reparations together. You never know what's going on. But this is the first time that they've allowed us to say who we are. I mean, we could have put other before, but this is a questionnaire exact to say what your nation of origin is. It is. It's just like my son said, and as he began to wake up and it became clear, He said, so your father is from the royal house of King David. I said, he is. He said, so then that means that Jerusalem belongs to you. I said, it does. And he just was like, wow. He said, so will you do anything to try to change it? I said, absolutely not. I said, because it's not time yet. But it registered. The things are beginning to register of the importance of who we are. You know, like I said, we've been teaching for years. I've been on this radio show for, we're going into our ninth year. And we've had a lot of people on this call. A lot of people have called in and don't call. They haven't called in anymore. It's a lot of people that have listened. We've taught classes for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And everybody says, ooh, wow, that's deep. We hear it all the time. But have you really retained it? Has it really begun to sink in? Do you really understand how important we are? So when people say, well, we got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, what does that mean? I mean, keep your eye out about your surroundings and what's going on around you. But he never has required us to deny who we are. That's not what that means. Well, why now? Why not now? We've been talking about we want to go home. We've been asking them to take us home. We went all the way to Washington, D.C. to be able to pray to the Most High to deliver us from these places. And then when we start seeing things moving in that direction, or we start seeing things getting ready to make a count and do the things that we need to do, then everybody backs up and says, well, I don't know. I don't really know about that. I really don't know. And it's like, you know, and we knew this was coming. Somebody in this group told me, they said, Yarnie, you're going to be surprised at the people that follow this thing all the way through. You'll be surprised at the people that really go all the way through to believe this thing. And we got to be able to understand it's going to take a lot to leave here. Mentally, emotionally, and physically. So you're going to have to identify yourself as an Israelite. And no, it's not mandatory. It's not. It's not mandatory. You know, and to turn around and say, well, you don't know whether or not you would have gotten what you got before. This lady did research. She knows what her family was entitled to and what they weren't entitled to because of what was done or what wasn't done. Just because we was in the curse don't mean some people wasn't blessed. We got a whole lot of rich black people in the curse. That just wasn't our story. But there's a whole lot of people that's rich in the curse, that's black, that's Israelite, that are doctors. We got doctors and lawyers on this phone call. Pediatricians on here. Engineers on here. We got people on here that's really making serious money. It doesn't mean they're not Israelite. So you can't say that just because we live in this curse and in this captivity that this lady don't know what her family missed out on because they didn't fill out the census. We got to be real about this thing. We're going to have to make a decision at some point to say who we are and stand up for who we claim we are. We are. Area code 919, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Just one comment to throw out. You know, there's that episode in the Bible where David attempted to count Israel, and that led to the city beginning to be destroyed by the angel. So I haven't heard anyone yet mention that in the context of us attempting to be counted.
Well, the reason why
Israel
he got in trouble for counting because the Most High told him not to. He told him not to. And he did it anyway.
Correct.
That's why he got in trouble.
Correct. And there's other senses. That's what I was relying to. And thank you, Sister Hyene, for, you know, that defense, because I was going to come back and let her know that, no, that had a lot. I feel like that had a lot to do with my family. If they had, done or stayed in their place, that's, sometimes we forget that our blessings come from us not having enough faith in Yah. And that was something he was getting. We missed out on a whole lot of opportunities. It had nothing to do with my curse or what we were cursed on. It had nothing to do with that. And, that's just like Christianity. They go to the point where, it wasn't entitled for you. It wasn't meant for you. Well, how do you know that it wasn't? But, again, the census is what I was referring to was in Exodus. And it was and they took census in order to give them their share. So I'm just saying, maybe this is the opportunity that the Most High is trying to let us know. Remember back when, so that comes with us reading the word and knowing, because there's nothing new under the sun. We keep repeating that. So if we believe it or not.
That's true.
And I hear you. Haven't made a decision myself, but I hear you. But the Most High told Moses to count the families. This is something different.
It is. That's true. That is very true. But the thing about it is that the Most High we're in this place. We're in this place that's not our land. We've gone through the 400 years. We've completed it. So he told us the order of how this was going to be. We were going to see the nation be judged, and then we were going to come out with great substance. He's talking to the Israelites. Mm-hmm. And we are now knowing that we're Israelites. And, yes, it's probably something in the background sinister. Knowing them, they have an ulterior motive to it. They always do. It's just like Brother Yerushalayim said about the attacks on the Jewish people, and it really registered. It really did. When he said that, he says, Naina, look at how that for the last 2 weeks there has been incidents in the news about Israelites shooting up a Jewish synagogue and Jewish stores and stuff where they were vilifying us in the news. And he said, look how smoothly and methodically the Most High has removed it from the news. Mm-hmm. Just removed it because of something else that somebody else said or did. It's gone. And he protected us because he knew we were being vilified for something that really had nothing to do with us. And that's when he said, no matter what happens, Jacob will be saved out of it now. And it may not be, it may be, and it may not be. And this is where everybody's faith is going to have to come in at. But like the sister said, there is a possibility. There's a possibility that this is a way for them to determine how many of us it is and how much land we're going to need when we get ready to leave. It has to be done in an orderly fashion because the Most High does things decent and in order. It's not like it was when we came out of Egypt. Moshe gathered the people together, and they walked out of Egypt and walked into the wilderness. It can't be like that this time because we have been brought over here in ships. So the Most High is going to have to do this decent and in order. There's going to be procedures to this unless the spaceship's going to come and beam us up. And that's not what the scripture says. So as they begin, I believe that this is the beginning of getting things in order because they know this is what we anticipate. They know this is what they want. We want. And this is the beginning of putting things in order to be able to know how many people there is. He has to have some sort of order to this thing. Somebody's going to have to organize this. I mean, when you really think about this, just the people that are on this line, period, just these people that's on this line. If all of us decided, okay, we out of here, this is it. There's things that have to be done. You're not going to just be able to walk away from your job and be like, okay, see y'all, I ain't coming back no more. There are things that you're going to have to be able to shut down. You're going to have to close down bank accounts. You're going to have to be able to do. The Most High does things decent and in order. And just like the prayer was very quiet and nobody knew nothing about it, I believe this is going to be very quiet and nobody's going to know nothing about it. And what better way to see how many Israelites you're going to deal with than to give them an opportunity to say who they are? Now, a lot of them ain't going to do it. A lot of people are not going to do it. They're going to throw it in the garbage. But I see it from a different perspective. I don't see trouble. I see opportunity. That this is the Most High's doing, just like the 400 years. Nobody knew anything about that. That was so subtly and smoothly done. Nobody knew anything about it, but he made sure that one of us saw it. And they brought it to our attention. And when we got ready, we were the ones who did that. We were the ones who put that information out there. Sister Rebeal was the one who saw it first. And we were the ones who broadcasted this to the children of Israel that we are at the 400 years. Nobody knew about it up until the day we went to Washington, D.C. The police officer, I've never heard of this. But it was done so quietly and so subtly that it was for the people who were able to see it. And that's how we stand, that there's a reason for everything. There's a reason why. There's a reason why they're allowing you to identify yourself. And I always think of it for our good, because it doesn't matter what they try to do. We got angels at our disposal. But we always going to be put to the test to see whether you really believe what you say you do. So, I mean, you know, we always going to be put to the test. And everybody felt like Washington, D.C. wasn't, we ain't got to do all that. We don't need all that. We ain't going. But guess what? They're going now. The ones who didn't think it was real, they're going now. They're going up now in 2020. So we got to be able to think of the benefits from it, from the most. The Most High does things decent and in order. Decent and in order. It's going to be, this move is going to be done so smoothly and so quietly. You know why it has to be done that way? Because of what the repercussions is going to be on the stock market if the people believe that the black people are leaving America. They're going to protect this infrastructure at all costs. It's going to be done so quietly and so smoothly. Smoothly done. And what if it's a scenario where you put on the census that you're a Hebrew Israelite and then you get some paperwork in the mail? How many family members do you have? You know, blah, 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 blah. And they start asking you questions. And, you know, is it one of your projected plans to be able to leave America and go back to the Middle East? And you put yes, 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 yes. And then they start putting together a list of the people. I mean, you just got to see the power of God. Because it's going to have to be done at some point, and it's going to have to be done very decently and in order at some point. Now, does that mean that we're leaving right away? No, but they got to have a count as to how many people going. Well, my daughter went to New York for New Year's Eve. She said it was 1.5 million people downtown New York at that ball dropping or whatever that was. She said, I will never do that again. She said it was so many people there, you couldn't move. They're not going to let that happen. They're not going to get ready to let no 1.5 million people go to the shores of and get on no boats at the Atlantic Ocean and to be able to go back over to the Middle East. People will be wondering, what is going on? Where are all these people going? They leaving the country. What do you mean you're leaving? You gave up your job. You quit. You leaving? That would do something to the stock market. They're going to do this thing very smoothly and very quietly, I promise you. In my opinion, I see Yah in all this. I do. I see him in all this. And when I get my paper, and this is just me, I'm going to put down Hebrew Israelite, that my nation of origin is Israel, the land of Canaan. That's what I'm going to put. Because everybody say I'm ready to go. Let's get ready. This is how we going.
this may be how we have to do it. And what better way to do it than to send a census out all over the United States to be able to do this? And this is something that we have to tell all our brothers and sisters to be able to do this. Put down your nationality. He didn't give it to us for nothing. We got to be able to put it down. If you feel like you don't want to, no. You have every right not to do it. You have every right not to do it. But they want to identify who we are. They know who we are. They know what we're doing. But you gotta have it safe. You know, I just believe that it's time, and we've been talking about it so much. And now that it's time. And see, some people getting government assistance, some people getting Social Security, and they feel like, shoot, I ain't gonna do that. They'll mess with my check. They do. They feel like they cut my check off. They do. They feel like that. And you and guess what? Wherever you are in your faith, that's where you are. You have to be there. So, you know, depending on how they do it again, you know, if that may be the way that they measure the first go-around, who leaving first. And they do the census every 10 years, right? Is it 10 years? They do it every 10 years or every 20 years? How's the census done? I don't remember
every
when 10. I did the last one. Every 10 years? You
every
might
10.
Have to wait till the next 10 years come around for you to be able to identify again. We just don't know, but we know whatever it is and however he's going to do it, he's going to do it decent and in order. Because provisions have to be made. Boats have to come. Plane tickets have to be bought. Places have to be arranged for us to be able to go back to. I mean, it's just provisions that have to be made. So that's what we say, don't be afraid. Trust Yah. And if you're not there, you just ain't there yet. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you feel like that it's not important and it's not something that you feel like you have to do, just don't do it. Don't do it. But like I said, and I always say, I'm going to be like Joseph now. I'm going to be just like Joseph now. When he finally came up out the pit, when he came out of that prison and they took him to Pharaoh in his corridor among all of his cabinet members and administrators. And Pharaoh asked Joseph, well, what do we need to do to save Egypt? He spoke his own deliverance. The nation of Yehuda would like to be the Hebrew Israelite organization to help spearhead this event, to gather the Israelites together so that we can exit out of here. That's what we want. Because it's going to have to be a count. You're going to have to know how many people leaving. And we just say, okay, oh, they put an announcement. Okay, all the black people, the Hebrew Israelites that want to leave America, please, but we're going to all meet at a certain level. You know how many people that'll be? It's going to have to be done a certain kind of way. It's going to have to be done a certain way. And how many people is not going to be? But some people are going to be like, ah, this ain't the right time. That's just how it is, you know. And we're going to have to keep on doing what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Because now it's becoming a reality. It's going to become a real reality real soon. And everybody's gonna have to be able to make a choice. And like we said, it's easy to say that when you sit in your living room, and you talking on the phone. But at one point, it's gonna be real. We're gonna leave here. And they make it. They know what we want. They know what the scripture says. And we got the right people in Washington D.C. today, right now, that would be glad to give us this. They want us gone. So I'm just saying, you know. And it's a controversial topic. It is. I know it is. I mean, you know, I figured it was going to get some pushback, but wow. You know?
I don't think it's pushback. I just think, to me, it wasn't that big a deal. I'm thinking, okay, the census, whatever. I have no problem putting down Israelite. I just hadn't given it that much thought.
And then, I mean, but think about it, Sister Yasantia, when y'all have to have a method to be able to do this if we leave. There has to be organizational structure put to it if we leave. No, so I mean, you know, I'm just saying. It just seems like the sister said, why now? Why not now? It, you know, it's just strange that 2020, after the curse is over, all this stuff is becoming available to be able to say. You know, they just want to round us up. So what if they do try to round us up? We still protected and covered. The Most High got us. We got to understand who we serve. He got us. The same way that the apostles and the disciples went into them prisons, and what the angel do? He came and opened up the door to the prison, and they walked out, didn't they? According to the scriptures. That's who we serve. We got to believe what we say. We got to believe this thing. And yes, it's going to be some times when you're going to run up against the wolf. Yes, he's going to be growling like that dog. That dog was, he was growling at me so tough. He was like, if I could get past this glass, I'd tear your throat out. That's how bad he was growling at me. And I just turned around and looked. I said, you shut your mouth.
I think of this in a slightly different way. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, it says that the woman is going to flee into the wilderness. And there are also scriptures mm-hmm. that say that everyone will return to their own country. So if we keep that in mind, we know that there's going to be an exodus. It may be, as you mm-hmm. said, there may be waves of people who go on an exodus, but it seems like everyone is leaving regardless.
Yeah, they're going eventually. We're not going to all go together. They're going to go eventually, but some people are going to have to go through some stuff, and some people are going to get their head cut off for the sake of the gospel. I mean, you know, it's just all according. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to have that experience. I'm trying my best to know through the Most High, through the Spirit, through the Ruach, you know, when the time is to leave to be able to go to that place of safety. Now, like I said, I've always been on the fence of whether the wilderness is going to be first or we're going to go to the city of the place of unwalled city and dwell there safely. You know, it's just that's up in the air, and I'm continuing to pray about that. But I know we're going back to the Middle East. So, I mean, you know, whether it's going back to the Middle East straight to the wilderness or that we're going to congregate in a place over there so that we can make the same journey that our ancestors made to the wilderness, however it is, I know we're going back to the Middle East where we are originally from. You know, so, and that has to be done in a certain kind of way. I just don't believe it's going to be a free-for-all. Everybody that want to go, just join. Here we go. Let's go. I just think that he's going to do it decent and in order. No, but again, you know, you got to do, and every time there's something major, it's just like when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and Pharaoh was coming after them. And the Most High told Moshe, he said, take them over there back behind the rock and position them over there. He said, and put them over. And the way they were positioned, it looked like they were sitting ducks. It looked just like they were sitting ducks. And I'm sure that when they looked out and they saw that army coming at them, they was like, man, you done brought us all the way out here, and these people finna kill us, because it was the Red Sea in front of them. And when they turned around and looked behind them, here comes Pharaoh's army. So those people, I'm sure, had all kind of fear in their hearts because they didn't see an out. But you know what the Most High did? He put a fire in between the children of Israel and Pharaoh's army to stop them from going any further. They couldn't even get to them. But it's always things like that that is done to prove you to see whether you believe what you say. They do. He proves you to see if you really believe what you say you believe. And for some people, they're not there yet, and I understand that. I do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All I'm going to tell you to do is don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at them when you make your decision. Don't even consider them when the decision is made. You look at Yah and you trust Yah and ask Yah. Because all we got to do is ask him, is this the time for us to do what we need to do? He'll tell you. It's simple. Faith. And if we didn't need faith, it would already be done. We could just walk in it, but we need it for a reason, because faith is the opposition of fear. And every time we need faith, it's because something drops in our mind to try to get us fearful of the people that are ruling us. Or else you wouldn't need faith. You should have seen that dog. He wouldn't even look at me. He turned his head and was looking at me out the corner of his eye. And I stood there. I was not getting in that car until he stopped. And he just looked at me out the corner of his eye like, this lady is nuts. And
I also
wouldn't say nothing else. Yeah, he wouldn't say nothing else. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking part of this is also, it's just like preparation, getting in our mind, it's time to go. Just like, you know, H.R. 1242, that was for us, mm-hmm. because nothing really has been done. Heads up, time mm-hmm. is up. Time is almost up, time's up. Okay, so the next step is, we watch the destruction of this place. Keep your eyes open and see if you don't see that. Then we know there's an exit. So now we're thinking about what is it that's going to propel our exit out of here, and how is it that we are supposed mm-hmm. to think about it? And so to me, all of those things are like preparation, so that when we get to the point where action is needed, we're ready. We're mentally ready,
yep.
physically ready.
Yep.
We're ready in so many different ways. And as I said, I'm going to think about this, because honestly, it wasn't on my radar as an issue. One way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but you got to think about it. Knowing you from academia, there's always procedures that are written out, the way to do things and how to do things. And all I'm saying is that the Most High does things decent and in order. There are procedures written out, and there are protocols to follow, because this has to be done in a way that is not going to start any sort of pandemonium in America, because we got immigrants trying to come in. There ain't nobody talking about people leaving. He won't even let the immigrants come in, and we trying to leave out according to the scriptures. But there has to be some sort of account so that the provisions can be made for us to be able to leave. And everybody's not going at the same time, because everybody's not going to have the inkling to be able to go at the same time. And this may be the Most High's way. I'm not saying that it is, but this may be his way to decipher and to separate those that don't have enough faith to do it. Because sometimes, you know, we have to go to YouTube and watch In the Beginning, the Bible series, and watch the sentiment of the Israelites when Moshe showed up on the scene to deliver them from Egypt. First thing they said is, who are you? And where did you come from? And then he told them, my name is Moshe, and I came from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he told me to come and tell you it's time to go. And instead of them saying, yeah, hip, hip, hooray, you know what they said? Go where? Where are we going? What is this? It took him more time to convince the people that it was time to go than it did take him to be able to deal with Pharaoh. Because it was always somebody in the crowd saying, yeah, but what about this? And then when they finally did decide, after they saw what Yah did, to go, even when he got them outside of Egypt, they still was talking about, well, you brought us all the way out here to die. But what we're supposed to do now, we got the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army coming at us at the other side. We could have stayed in Egypt where we was, and at least where we had somewhere to sleep. And the Most High got angry. He was pissed. He was mad. It's always going to be those people, and I'm not talking about anybody on this phone, because believe me, I love everybody on this phone, and I understand that everybody's at a different level. But in with those group of people that we saw coming out of there, and that's put on record for a reason, there was always somebody to challenge him or to add fear. I know, but we got to be careful because we don't have to be nothing but have faith in Yah. That's all we got to do because guess what? It's going to add more credence, well, in my opinion. I'm not going to say that. But anyway, all we got to do is have faith in Yah because he got us now. The curse is over. It's over. And then the men, once they got out into the wilderness, you know what they did? We ain't been in the pool with Moses. He's been up on that mountain too long. Man, I'm going to get some people together. We going against him. We ain't getting ready to do this. We don't know what he up there doing. He could be dead up there. But when he came back down and he realized that somebody started to revolt, guess what he did? He said, everybody that's on my side, come over here. Everybody on that side, go over there. And the ground opened up and swallowed them up. So this is, we the same group of people, we just under different circumstances now. The way is being made. The exit strategy is being planned out. And I believe somebody said, well, how are we going to do the count? Well, the census is coming up. That's a perfect way to do the count. Oh, okay, so we're going to figure out how many people that's coming. So the census bureau is out. So how are we going to know who's who? Well, guess what? Let's put a questionnaire on the census to ask them what nation they're from so we'll know how many Israelites we got. Now, somebody got a sinister thought in their mind, which they usually do because most of their deeds is evil. But guess what? What the devil meant for evil, y'all turn it around for our good. Because guess what Trump's doing? He just said he was going to make the Israeli a nationality. That's what he said. So, I mean, you know, you just got to look at it from a biblical standpoint. When I watch this from this point forward, from once the curse is being completed, I'm waiting on the signs to be able to say, okay, now we can start moving. Here we go. Let's get ready to start moving. And they said the same thing to Moshe. You just made life harder for us. Now we got to make bricks without straw because you up in there messing with stuff. If you had just left it alone, we would have been all right. But the Most High didn't want him to leave it alone. He came to shake it up because in order for you to leave, you're going to have to shake. You're going to have to come out of your comfort zone. I'm just saying. This is serious now. And we got to get ready. And like Sister Yusanti, I said, this could be layers to get you ready. This may be the first step. It may be 3 years from now. It may be 5 years from now. We don't know.
I think that's optimistic.
Really? My man, I'm just trying to be, you know what I'm saying? We just don't know. We just don't know. We don't. You know,
there was something that I read that's interesting when you talk about nationhood, because I was reading the comments that someone had left under a video that I watched, and they had said reparations, the only time reparations were awarded is to a nation. So nationhood is important. So when you're speaking of the nation, that's really significant. That kind of resonates with me. And so I can understand why that in and of itself is important. And as I said, you know, all of these things make me think. I'm trying to think what's the linkage between each of the things that comes up when I read a little snippet here and when I get information there. I'm trying to put it all in context to see how does this fit into the whole of where I know we're going. and who we are as a people. And so I think that our identity is very important, because an individual is not going to be awarded anything, but a nation is going to be recognized.
Yeah, and we are descendants of slaves. We are. We are descendants. We are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade. And with all the teaching and all the training and all the things that we have said and done, you know, there are preparations being made. It says, however, with the census being a critical tool to the government used to determine the allocation of funds, programs, and the number of representatives each state sends to Congress, Black people and other minorities cannot afford to be undercounted. So, you know, the programs that they have had in place, you know, if this is how they use to determine the money that's necessary, you know, we can put ourselves on the map. It's just as simple as that, you know. It's as simple as that. You know. But like I said, what the devil meant for evil, Yah will turn it around for our good, and we are protected. We don't have to be scared. You really don't have to ever be afraid. You don't have to even look at those people and say, well, they're going to do this. It doesn't matter what they try to do. It doesn't matter what they try to do. All you have to do is walk upright before the Most High Yah, and you will be fine. No, it doesn't matter. Just got to have some faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. That's how we get it. And we use those examples that are in the Bible to show us what not to do when it's our turn to do what they did. You know, and it's never going to be a right time. Whenever they say, okay, in 2024, it's time for you guys to go. We got to count. We know how many people coming. We want to be able to meet with everybody so we can get it all situated and how it's going to go, how we're going to dissolve all of your – it's just like Meghan and Harry leaving the royal family. That's unprecedented. That's something that has never happened before. They said, well, how do you leave your country? How do you leave your family? There, and what did the queen say? The queen said this is something that we will think over very carefully. It has to be very carefully done and thought through, because you have to start disattaching yourself from these places to be able to go back to a land that we don't even remember living in. It's going to take some time. You're just not going to snatch you up off of here and leave all yourself in your apartment. It's going to take time to be able to do this. You know, and this is what it is. When you decide to make a change like that from one location to a next, it's going to be very strategically done. Safe. So I think that, you know, I hope we're ready. I mean, we talked about it for a long time, but now things are beginning to change, you know. And everybody's like, well, wait a minute, hold on. Well, what about this? And there's nothing wrong with asking those questions. Not nothing wrong with it, you know. And like I said, everybody's not leaving. You're going to have some folks who's going to stay behind. They're going to stay behind, you know, because they're going to wait for another time, and that time will come.
You know, our Yah is so, I mean, magnificent. This is his way of them organizing a nation. And that's what he did with Mosaic when he took the census. He was organizing, at that particular time, the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
the nation.
Uh, and when I say that nothing's new under the sun, it may not be in that or I mean in the same order, but the events are somewhat similar. And so, you know, like you said, you know, we've been talking about this, and everybody said, oh, yeah, I can't wait. Like they think he's going to bust out of the sky, and then we're going to shoot, and we'll be gone. No, he didn't do that with when Moses went to Pharaoh at the time. I mean, it probably took a long time for him to either gather the people to even do this. Mm-hmm. They probably going to get reparations. Oh, we're gonna leave, and but it took some time, and the Most High did it in His fashion, in His order, and that's mm-hmm. what we have to remember. And about the sister that said something about in Revelation about the whore, about the woman going away. I believe that already happened, because that woman she is the sign of Israel, and that child she had was Yeshua. Yes, and they went after him. Yes, it was Herod that went after him. But again, mm-hmm. that's my, you know, maybe people have different way of looking at it. But that has already happened, and a lot of things that has happened. I mean, that they say that happened in you know in the Torah or either in the Tanakh, it has already happened. It has all. I mean, the Antichrist has already always been here.
Well, guess what? It's going to happen again. This is the end of the story, and it's going to happen again. And we have to get prepared for it because there's going to be a second Exodus, just like it was the first one. There's going to be a second wilderness, just like it was the first one. And there's going to be an Antichrist that's coming up against the Messiah, just like it was in the first one. So what does history do? It repeats itself. But the thing about it is we have to use those examples that are set on record so that we know not to do what they did the first time. We know not to complain. We know not to be afraid. We got to say, yeah, not my will, but thy will be done. And I'm going to trust you. Because it's going to be like Brother Yerushalayim them said, and they hit him. Like, this is going to be some serious stuff to be able to lead this for. This is going to really be a lot. And it is. It's, you know, even though we know this is our journey and this is what we have to do, When the time comes, you will never see this place again. And the family members that stay behind, you will never see them anymore. So, I mean, you know, like the sister said, the Most High does things in phases to get you prepared to be able to make the journey, because the children of Israel had to sit in Egypt and watch the plague come onto the land of Egypt. And it didn't hit Goshen. It didn't go to Goshen. And they watched what the Most High did to the Egyptians. And then after they saw that, Moses said, okay, it's time to go. Let's get it up. We're going to eat the Passover, eat it with your clothes on, with your shoes on, and be ready to go. And right after that, they left. They did the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the wilderness. So it's going to happen again. We can really do this one more again. Is everybody going to leave at the same time? I don't believe so. I believe they will be coming in phases. You know, and that's just it. But the first group that get to go over is the first group that get to go over, and there has to be a process started to make that happen. That's all I'm saying. And it says, to further frustrate and alienate the black community, the census is going as far as to ask black people what their exact origins are. Where have they done that? It says, for some, this is a small success. At first and second generation immigrants can now proudly write in Nigerian, Jamaican, or Haitian. It says, for African Americans who are simply descendants of the cruel chattel slavery that built this country, this question is a painful reminder of the identity this country, this nation stripped them of. Of long before they were even born. So guess what? It's not a painful reminder of us because we know who we are now. It was only a painful because we didn't know. Now we know. We can write it in. We can write this thing in. Yeah, and I'm telling you, when I did it, they called me like, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. I can't too tell you who I am. Yes, I can too. And when we went to Washington the first time, there were some people scared because I've been to Washington before. This ain't my first rodeo. And they was like, man, we don't know what's going to happen to you, Diana. And when I came back and we were finished, I said, I'm still alive. Girl, I'm still alive. God trust y'all. It just is what it is. I mean, you know, we're here now. They're making preparation. We got the right government to do this for us now. They ready to go. They ready for us to go. They just trying to figure out how to do it and do it very quietly. And we will help them to do it very quietly. Very quietly. And go do what we gotta do. You know, because them boats is coming. And we're not gonna be able to take no furniture with us, no TV, no nothing. All we're gonna take is the wealth that we have and the things that we have to take with us when we get there, and however he's gonna provide us with what we need when we get there. So, I mean, I'm excited. This is something to be excited about. Not fearful, not scared. It's going to be what it's going to be because no matter when it happens, it's going to be dusty fine. So I'm just going to tell you right now, it ain't going to be no smooth walk, cakewalk in the park. It's not. So you got to get ready for it. It's not going to be a cakewalk in the park. Because right after they let them go, what they do, they say, oh, no, we got to go back and get them. We didn't think this thing through. And what the most I say, too late, they ain't coming back. They gone for good. We ain't got nobody to do our chores. Who going to do all this work? Who going to tend to this? Who going to do that? They too not them because it's over with. This is where we at now. We're at this phase in it. And it's powerful. And it's jaw-dropping. And it's going to shake up everything. Everybody, wait a minute, hold on. And some of y'all going to look at your houses and your cars and all your family members, and you're going to be like, I don't know about this. Got to make a choice. You're going to have to make that choice. All right, so guess what we're going to do? We're going to give everybody a chance to say something if you want to. If not, I'm going to go up the thing, and we're just going to end it out. Area code 919, what would you like to say to everybody before we end out the day?
No, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, no problem. Shalom, shalom. Area code, let's see who else we got here. If you want to say area code 228, what would you like to say?
I have nothing to say, but keep praying, my people.
All right, area code 405, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say shalom, shalom to everyone, and I'm praying, and I pray all the time about when this is going to happen, because I'm sincere, I'm ready to go. And if I'm going to stay prayed up with the Ruach, because he's going to warn me, but this right here, I believe, was a sign for me. Now, for anyone else, you know, I'll let your Ruach lead you. And I'm praying and that, you know, that the Most High see me through it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Area code 540, what would you like to say to everybody before we dismiss?
Just keep praying that we will have the faith of Yeshua and it'll increase every single day. And don't worry, just keep praying. He will provide the strength we need.
Hallelujah. Area code 928, what would you like to say to everybody before we dismiss? I think our phone's working. Area code 817, what would you like to say?
Let's just keep these commandments, Israel. That's the main key right there. The main focus that we need to be focused on is keeping the commandments, staying prayed up. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you so much. Area code 214, what would you like to say to the crowd?
Shalom.
All right, shalom, shalom. And, you know, and on that note, like I said, we're going to keep on reading this word because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Yah. We're going to stay prayed up to see where and what we need to do to make this happen. And we know it's coming. So, I mean, we're going to have to realize that it's coming. We're going to have to make a choice. And we don't want anybody to be fearful, you know, and out of love. We love everybody. We're going to get us there. So we're getting ready to leave here, whether we know it or not. And it ain't gonna, it's never going to be a right time. We just have to move when y'all say move. And anytime he does something like this, it's going to shake up everything. But we know that he loves us and he's coming to get his people. And on that note, we'd like to say shalom, shalom to everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Don't forget about the men's call on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Pray for Brother Yerushalayim and his family because of the loss that they've experienced. The men's call number is 720-1215. That's it, 720-820-1215. And that's on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget about our Old Testament reading class. We started from Genesis 1. It's on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that number is 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256-039-POUND. Again, the number is 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256-039-POUND. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your week.